and welcome to podcast 350. Yes, 350, a five-star potential, your weekly Football Manager podcast. I'm Duke, and on this week's pod, I am joined by Paul, aka Mad FM, and Hello. Dave, aka I'll play clubs with you whenever you want, yet to play clubs with me. How are you doing, boys? You good? You well?
Ooh.
Duke, I've heard I've been playing clubs, but apparently you've been kicked out of the team. That's what I've heard.
Do you know what? It's probably not far from the truth, to be fair. Today, we're going to have a chat about some good old-fashioned FM stuff, checking in with each of our saves, and I believe someone has finally started a new one, eyes emoji, or finally conceded that he wasn't going to beat me, eyes emoji. And we're going to have a chat about two striker formations from a Football Manager and real-life perspective. And this week, we're even lucky enough to have a quiz from Mr. David Azzopardi. Before we do that, lads, and before we get into it, what have we been up to? And if we have any, winners or losers of the week? Dave, what have you been doing, bud?
Yeah, winners, that Wolves have actually won a football match. We've gone 7 or 8 games without a win, so that was nice.
Is it that many?
Obviously against Luton. So yeah, against Luton, so nothing too exciting. But it was a good performance, good win, and nice to get support to the board. We've still got a tough end to the season, so we're pretty much safe now. But funnily enough, so that's definitely a winner. But funnily enough, where I sit by the away fans, and no word of like Tommy Robinson was there right next to me.
Wow. What, in the Wolves or in the Luton?
No, in the Luton end. He's a Luton fan. So I saw him, and then there's been a big meltdown on Wolves social media that he was at the ground yesterday. So say no more.
Is he banned? Should he not be there?
No, I think he's very much allowed to be there. He's just a bit of a controversial character, shall we say.
Talking of controversial characters, Matt, you got any winners or losers? What have you been up to this week?
I'm like the least controversial person that's ever been here, surely.
I don't know. You do like to cause a fuss for no reason.
That's the pot calling the kettle black, my friend. What have I been up to this week?
Are we allowed to say that anymore?
Yes, I just did. Controversial. Okay. What have I been up to? Started a new save, but we'll talk about that probably in a while. What else from a football perspective? I do the other podcast with the Newcastle lads, and we did our first like in-person recording. That was weird. Because I hadn't ever done it before.
You want to do one when we did it? Okay.
I didn't get the invite. But it was a good crack. It was weird because Newcastle lost. Then after, we lost to Crystal Palace literally after we recorded. So that was a bit of a buzzkill. But back to winning ways against Sheffield United, thank God, even though we started terribly. I think we're going to get 6-2. I think Man United are going to be sweating.
I don't think we're sweating. We're terrible. If you don't get sick, then I think everyone's like laughing at United for dropping points. I think everyone should be laughing at the fact that Burnley dropped points, to be perfectly honest. I'm actually going to go back to old-fashioned stuff, if you don't mind. I've done quite a busy week. I've been a bit poorly, been a bit busy. I've changed office yet again. And this is kind of like my little home for now, because good news, this isn't my winner, but we got planning permission, so we're starting the extension. So
nice.
Hopefully, sooner rather than later, we'll have a proper office in the next maybe 18 months. So that'll be pretty sick. Maybe 2, maybe 3 years, you never know. But no, my winner of the week is Swedish football.
Oh yes, I know what this is going to be.
For a multiple of reasons. One of the reasons is the fact that Mad's no longer there.
Yes.
But secondly, the more important one is the fact that they are actually saying no to VAR and they're getting rid of VAR. And they're like one of the first big European, I say big, they're not a big league, but they're one of the main European leagues that's actually turned around and said, yeah, we don't like it. We're not doing it anymore.
I don't think they've been implemented yet, Duke. No, I thought I don't think they'd ever brought it in and there was a vote to bring it in. Okay. And I think they've said,
to be fair,
we don't.
I heard it on the radio on the way home.
I'm pretty sure that's it, yeah.
And I was like, amazing.
That's great. It's brilliant.
Okay, well, there you go. One way or another, Sweden, you're the winners of the week. Loser of the week is VAR. Because it's just terrible. Look at it again this weekend. Seriously. We are recording this on Sunday. We had to witness some horrific VAR calls, wrecking the game and all that jazz. So I'm not even going to start going on about the stuff that happened at Manchester United, because I don't want to be deemed to be biased, but I always like to think that I'm quite a good Manchester United fan. I'm quite non-biased and I'm quite honest. just the media and stuff are just doing my head in about VAR, and they're clearly paid to be positive about it, and it's clearly not working. So yeah, fuck VAR. Yes. And well done, Sweden. You mentioned it, Matt, so we might as well jump straight in. New save?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I kind of took a notion last week. We had spoken on the pod about different ideas that were in my mind. And I was having to wander on. I was looking at teams abroad and that called Castaway idea. And then I was thinking about doing an unemployed and some kind of journeyman. And then, yeah, I ended up being drawn back to the Regionaire again. I suppose I'm at the point where I might as well just do one every season. But for those of you that don't know, the Regionaire is basically the idea where you take a football club and you implement a policy like what Athletic Bilbao do, and you basically sign local only players. So I had a few suggestions from some of the lads out there and ended up going to South Shields back in the Northeast again, which is handy because I've got all the filters from the Northern Boys save 3 years ago. So lazy much. But I want to do it. It brings it all together. It's like a mix, right? It brings in some state stipulations. It's lower league, something I've not done for a long time. And it's obviously close to the heart because it's in the Northeast and it's Regionaire, Northern Boys, etc. Did a little stream for a few hours earlier in the week, hoping to be streaming again Monday evening, the day this pod is released, and a few more evenings, maybe.
Tonight.
Maybe each evening. Tonight.
Ooh.
Today, tomorrow. Yes. So yeah, it's interesting because a club of that level, the player pool is going to be very, very small. When I run the filters through it, I get like something like 300 interested players, obviously of a very mixed bag of quality. So we were doing a few different things, bringing a lot of players in on trial, having a little mess around. The media prediction for South Shields is, I think it was 7th when we started the save. I think we do have one of the best players in the league. It's a player on loan from Newcastle. His name is Dylan Stevenson. He's quite good, but he's playing up front. And another thing I've done as well, which maybe we'll come back to in a while, I've gone with a 3-4-3 of sorts. But I haven't done this tactic in Football Manager for years. I usually kind of have always avoided, you know, the three centre-backs and two wing-backs, because I always used to just make balls of it. But we've gone with that just because we've got some really quick wing-backs, and I think we can tear shit up in that league. And really weirdly, because I think it was Trinaldo was in the Twitch chat shouting exploit dupe. I don't know if you spotted this or not. I played a game. It was like the first or second league game. And my right wing back picked up the ball, crossed into the opponent's half, played kind of a through ball into our striker who squared it to the other striker and goal. And then like 10 minutes later in game, the exact same goal was scored. Like, I mean, it was almost like he picked the ball up, passed it from the same. It literally looked like a mirror. I wouldn't say it's 100% identical, but it's like 95% identical. Really weird. So then we had shouts of exploit in chat. Break,
don't fix it, mate. Yeah. If it worked the first time, it'll clearly work the second.
So I hadn't seen that before, where you literally score an identical goal, the same three players involved in the same parts of the pitch, all that kind of stuff. Really strange. And the other nice thing I had that I hadn't seen before, I don't know if you saw it on the little gif or clip I put on Twitter, lads, of the goalkeeper trying to head the ball. So basically it was the opposition goalkeeper. He's inside his own half and he's kind of hoofed the ball over the top. And the keeper's ran out towards the edge of the box to jump up and do a header. He's missed the ball, bounces behind him and goes into the back of the net. And it's a goal for us.
Oh, that's horrific.
Yeah. You have to watch the animation.
That's horrific.
You have to watch the animation.
I'm about to watch it. I'm just scrolling through now. I just had to unblock you to see it. It's mental.
Yeah, of course. It's quite entertaining.
That is...
Yeah.
To be fair, it looks like what Onana did against Wolves and actually against Burnley at the weekend. Just goes nowhere near the ball, just tries to headbutt his player. It's mental.
Madness. So that's fun. So I guess that's going to be life in the lower leagues. We've played 3 games and we actually managed to win all 3, not comfortably. And one of them we had to overturn a defeat and we won 3-2 at the very end. So I don't expect it to continue like that. But I'm enjoying it so far because it's completely unknown territory for me at that level. For that level of player, minimal scouting range, minimal interested players. It's going to rely on me doing a bit more things from a tactical perspective, which is going to be fun because I'm not very good. at this game?
I've got a couple of questions. One,
uh-oh,
welcome to the lower leagues. Not really a question. That's more of a statement, I guess. But no, yeah, welcome to the lower leagues. Vanarama National North, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so you start there. So kind of you're halfway through where I was, you know. You basically started a save, very similar to mine, but just done the easy mode. So I credit that, that's fair enough. I understand, it's not a problem at all.
You're correct too, very accurate as always.
Okay, so a couple of questions I do have. One, the first question I have is the fact that I've just looking at your thumbnail.
Oh.
Definitely made by AI, right?
Somewhat a mix of AI and me, but yes, the images of the characters, or whatever you want to call them, are obviously AI. Yes.
Is that meant to be you?
No, God, no.
In the middle?
I don't have glasses. Are I don't you have sure? That color. Yes.
Okay, just checking. It looks like a slim version of me. That's all I'm thinking.
It's a slim
if
version
I lost
of
a,
me,
if I lost about 60% of my body weight, I'd probably look like that. Okay, so how much fun are you? I mean, I know you've only just started, but how much fun are you having with that? You said about the difficulty of the lower leagues. It's been a while since you've managed this low, right? I mean, I know Sweden was probably this level, but it's just, you see so much random shit. And there's so much that you can sit and you can tinker and you can work your team. And then there's always that factor of unpredictability from these players that are actually pretty terrible in this game. And it just opens a whole new world of playing a game, because you can't factor for the fact that my right back is just going to hoof it into the back post and score an own goal because he's trying to play out from the back because I'm asking him to. And he's got full vision, full composure, and he's got one and a half passing. You know, these are things that you can't, like, you just can't relay, and you just can't relate to this level of football. So how are you finding that side of things? Because I did see you struggled a little bit against your under 21s, didn't you?
No, I don't. I don't, we did
I think
the,
that
whole,
was the first. Or, the
we played
did
a friendly.
You smash them? I can't remember.
I'm trying to think. We did a friendly where it was like the first team against the second team. That wasn't. I don't think it was too bad. I guess for me, like, we've only done 3 games in the league, and we didn't do like all the friendlies. I kind of let the assistant manager take care of some of those, in the interest of time, but in those 3 league games, I've already seen some weird stuff, as I've just described.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to... Because I'm going to stream it a bit more, the chaos factor and the entertainment factor is a good thing, right? When mad, weird shit happens, that's obviously good fun when you're streaming and you have a few people being part of it. So I'll enjoy that. But I think what I'm going to have to do better, as I kind of alluded to, is get better tactically at Football Manager. It's not something like tactics aren't my thing when it comes to FM. Obviously, I try my best and I try and, you know, tweak team instructions, individual instructions, player
tactics
roles.
Tactics aren't my thing. But we're tactics, on a football fucking manager podcast.
I know, but, you know, usually it's about squad building. It's about the
that's
narrative
like
of the storyline.
Kieran Maguire going on The Price of Football. Going, yeah, well, you know, numbers aren't really my thing.
No. This isn't called Tactics Manager. It's called Football Manager. Okay. So what difference. I mean is, I'm not a tactical guru, and I wouldn't be sitting there watching your stream and be able to tell you what you should do. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to have to figure out a lot more, and I spend a lot more time thinking properly about each individual role and the player that's being deployed there.
Okay.
And in comparison to the Ike save, you know, that was plug and play because the team was arguably the strongest team in the division for the 5 seasons that we were there, and it didn't require as much deep thought process.
On that note, I'm itching because I'm just about to go through a new or a change in tactic in my save.
Ooh.
We'll get to my save shortly, but just a little bit of advice, and this isn't just for you, this is just for the wider audience, that I've basically sat for 3 hours the other night trying to work out how I want my team to play, this is kind of going to be my bed now, where I'm going to start getting in younger players and all this jazz. So I've kind of come up with a little system, and I didn't know the roles and the responsibilities, and I didn't know what I wanted to do in possession and in transition and all that jazz. On every single change that you can make, if you hover over it, it will literally tell you what that's doing, and then you'll be able to build a bigger and better picture. So for example, if you hover over your attacking width and it says I'm on fairly wide, this says that it instructs the players to look to stretch the pitch and play in more of an expansive manner. And people might just go, oh yeah, I want to play really wide. And actually, if you don't read what it tells you, then you could be missing out on a lot of information. And there's a lot of, and I've learned the hard way, there's a lot of instructions and there's a lot of roles and personal instructions that can be really counterintuitive if you're playing something else as well. So I would just, if you want to take it slow, and I know you like to play slow, Mad, but with, you know, and this isn't me telling you how to suck eggs. I'm just saying this is something that I spent a long time doing on this new tactic that I'm looking at. It's just slow it down and hover. Hover like an awkward person at a party and just hover over everything, right? And just read it. Just go through and read it and you just, and work out how you want to play and does that link to how you want to play?
And also, if you have the players to do it right, you know, if you're, you know, in your example, they're stretching the pitch and all that, that means players are going to have to probably work a lot harder. So you're thinking about work rate and not your fitness. Your passing style is going to go into play. You know, if you're playing short passing versus long passing or direct passing, you know, you're going to have players with a bunch of low passing attributes, right? So you're going to give the ball away, etc.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
There's loads going on there when you mix it with the lower league.
There is. And like I said, playing lower league makes it a lot harder, but I had a spout of injuries in one of my first or second season at Cirencester where I bought two left backs in and both of them got injured and were out for the season. I didn't have any money spare to buy another left back in, so I actually played a centre back in and then played him as an inverted fullback because that way he would drift in and play more centrally rather than, he didn't have the legs to go up and down, so we had to kind of work out, like you said, play with the players that you've got. You've got to play to their strengths, and that was the strength that I could play. We got promoted. Happy days, you know. There's ways around.
Weren't you playing a striker or as a right back or a right back as a striker or something? Yeah.
We had a striker at a right back at one stage, just because of injuries. But he had good. I can actually find it later, but he had something like good crossing, good passing, good work rate. He was quite physically good as well. And he just ticked the boxes. And I think he got like the top amount of assists in the season or something. Yeah, so it's good to try something new, bud. And I like the fact that you are trying something new. And I think you adding that Regenerate really makes it hard. Really does make it difficult. And I do wonder, and I don't mean this, I'm not saying this tongue in cheek or anything, but I do wonder how long you'll keep that up or how long it will take before you start opening it up a little bit, expanding that circle a little bit like you do on... you know, like we're trying to make it on right move or whatever. A little bit bigger. Actually, let's go a little bit bigger. Like five more miles before it is. We're just going to sign Lionel Messi.
We'll see, because I do fear it's obviously having less ability to bring in players mixed with, like, I don't know, board expectations. And do you recall the time that I got sacked live on stream at that Celta Vigo moment where you rang
and
me live?
Nearly from, in the podcast. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yes, that too, yes. I do have fears of that. But, like, look, I didn't, because I felt like the Ike save was almost getting too easy, that's where I've gone almost polar opposite. Like, I want to do something lower league, something I have not done before, throw in the stipulation, make it difficult. If you get sacked, you get sacked, we go again. But hopefully that won't happen. We've survived before.
You know, I just think it's good to try it, mate. And I think, you know, I don't think if you were to expand that region or if you were to drop the region after a while, because sometimes beggars can't be choosers. You can only, you know, and a phrase that my dad once taught me, you can only piss with a cock you got. Do you know what I mean? So if you, it's one of my favorite phrases. I use it a lot. So like you can, you know, you can't do anything more than that. If you are only got 15 players turn up this year and you can only sign those for 15, your expectation is going to be lower anyway. Yeah. Right. At the moment, in theory, in those lower leagues, probably, you know, in that Vanarama National North, you probably are playing those local lads. Are a bit like when I started the Siren Town Save, when you look, you kind of, I'm getting the Bristol lads, I'm getting the Swindon lads, I'm getting the Oxford lads, you know, the Gloucester lads and these sort of things, you know, and that's because they don't like to travel, you know, and that is kind of where my remit is. And I don't think you failed if you drop that. So I'm not going to take the piss out of that. I'll just take the piss if you get sacked.
We'll see how it goes. I actually had shouts in the chat for both of you to do a Regenerate at some point. So, like Dave, someone was saying, if you did one at Wolves, it would be like, you know, Midlands or whatever.
West Midlands.
West Midlands, yeah. And then do same for yourself.
I did one, but I did Portugal. I did Portuguese players at Wolves.
Portugal.
I think the thing is, I would probably, and this isn't me getting on the back foot straight away, but I'd probably be the most hard done by that. You know, if you look at Dave, he's got some of the biggest teams in the Midlands. He's got West Brom, he's got Villa. Oh, you got Wolves as well, you know.
No, but no, in terms of cities, you're Birmingham. That's a massive... Well, Manchester. No, yeah, but in Manchester.
Yeah, but I'd do it down south, wouldn't I?
That would be hard. That's the hardest one, I think.
Yeah, southwest. I mean, that's... Yeah. You got Gloucester, you got Forest Bristol. Green, Swindon. Well, you got Gloucester, Cheltenham, Swindon. People like, fucking hell.
So I remember writing about this too.
Nile Ranger? No, he's up north.
No, he's not.
Kind of thing.
We have an article on the website about the Regionair, and I remember breaking down the 9 regions in England. Obviously, Northeast is the one I'm doing. We've just mentioned that, like, if Dave was doing it, he'd be in the West Midlands. For the Southwest, so like the main kind of towns and clubs is like Bristol, Bournemouth, I don't know, Swindon, Plymouth. And then, like, notable Exeter. Players to have come from that region, the biggest names, again, this is 2 years ago, but it's Tyrone Mings, Eric Dyer, Ashley Barnes, Ethan Ampadu. They're the lads that kind of hail from that region. So
this is from Dupes?
That's from like the southwest of England. So it would be the hardest one. I remember we talked about before. It would be the hardest one to do it down there for sure. But
I mean, and then you look at Joe, for example. Joe, I mean, that would be... he's got all of London now, basically.
Yeah, London is like a field day. It's totally different.
You should do one. You should do a proper one, though, Matt.
I am doing a proper one in the northeast.
But you're not from the northeast. So do home grow.
I could do something in Ireland. Yeah, that's actually been in the back of my mind for a long time. And there's also an idea thrown around of trying to put an Irish club in the English football pyramid somewhere.
Okay. It'd
be messy, but yeah.
No, I think he's Argentinian.
He's Argentinian, bro. Yeah.
No, I think, do you know what? Okay, just as a tangent here, obviously I fucked about with a bit with the database. I did it with the Man City save. I've done it with a few. We did it with putting a English team in the MLS, if you remember.
Oh yes, Monarchs.
The hardest thing you will find, if you were to get an Irish team from wherever you're from, and I don't want to let the listeners know your actual address, but it's quite hard to give your address because no one has fucking postcodes over there. I think that do you have postcodes now?
But we got them in about 5, 6, 8 years ago, I don't know, something like that.
Okay. When I used to work in a call centre, we used to do, like, you used to get phone calls from the Irish, and I used to just immediately think, fuck, because you just never had postcodes then. You know, not because I hate the Irish. I mean, that's true as well. But I used to just think, because you used to always use your postcode to find the account, and then you didn't have a post. And it just scarred me for life. There you go. But I can't even remember what I was saying then, but I've literally lost what I was thinking. Oh, no, the hardest thing you would find. So, for example, if you were to bring an Irish team and put them into the Vanarama National North, right? It's the expenses that you would travel
and the travel and
finance. And you'd finance for the other teams too. I know they're only traveling to you once, but if you get a cup draw, you know, these teams have got to go over. And if, you know, you could get a proper lower league team in the FA Cup. And you could bust them just by having them put in the flights on there. So we'll I think that would be the hardest thing.
Ryanair would sort us out. It'd be fine.
You can stand up and you get paid £11 to go on the flight. It's amazing. David, talk to me about the Penty, because it's been a wee while, laddo.
It has been. I've played quite a bit, to be fair. Probably.
I think the question we should probably do is, have you won one?
No,
we don't want to
know. Because I'm knocked out. I am still in the Asian Champions League. So very quick, I think on the last pod, I was sort of coming towards the end of the sort of 2034 season, and it was just before the Champions League group got drawn. So in regards very quickly to the league last season, I won the league. Wasn't as comfortable as the year before. I mean, I won the league with 88 points, 15 points clear of second place, but I lost 6 games overall. Whereas in the 2033 season, I only lost 1 game, got over 105 points. So still won the league fairly comfortably, but that wasn't, you know, I had a lot of injury concerns and stuff. So we've got our Asian Champions League group, and it's quite interesting, actually. So the 3 teams we got drawn was Western United, who are from Australia. Who was the other one there? Yeah, so Western United... Ho Chi Minh City, they were awful, but also Yeonbuk. So they were the team that I managed in South Korea, the last team that I managed. So I joined them. We lost out in the Asian Champions League final and I left, and then obviously I came to Tokyo. So we got them in the group. I thought, well, they're actually pretty decent, but we managed to get through the group. Top that group in the end on goal difference, actually, because we drew with Jeonbuk twice. And that was sort of how we finished the season. So we've gone into the new season now, 2035. Started off very, very strongly. I say that, we lost out in the Super Cup 1-0, and I thought, oh no, this could be a long, long season. Next game was against Suwon Blue Wings, so they're from Korea. We had two legs against them in the Champions League. First leg away, I beat them 5-2. I was rubbing my hands together thinking, yep, happy day. Second leg, we just played it out, 0-0 draw. So, you know, through to the quarterfinal. And at the moment, I'm playing Nagoya Grampus. Now, they're another team, I think, from South... No, they're in Japan, sorry. But they're a decent team in Japan. I beat them 5-1 in the first leg. And I'm about to play them in the second leg. So, you would assume that I'm going to be in the semi-final of the Champions League. Before I talk about that a bit more... Very quickly, a recap of what's happened at the start of the season. Absolutely smashing it so far in the league. Won the first game 6-0. We then won 5-1, 3-0, 2-0, and our most recently game 4-2. Now, the interesting thing about the 6-0 win on the opening day of the season is that the Italian guy that I've got at the moment, Giuseppe Romano, is out injured. My best left winger, Portuguese lad, he's out injured. So I've had this guy called Lucas Felipe, Brazilian new gen. Attributes are really, really good, but never really had the opportunity to sort of break him into the first team because he's more of a number 10. I don't really play with a number 10. There was other players that I prioritised over him. I tried to get him out on loan last season. It didn't quite work out. So I put him into the team as a pressing forward because in terms of his attributes, he's got decent work rate. In front of goal, he's not bad. So his first ever game for me is a pressing forward. He scored 5 goals in the first half. Oof. And that's when we won 6-0. I was like, okay, no problem. Next league game, he scored a hat-trick. Oof. I was like, hold on a minute. What's going on here? So far, he's got me 12 goals. 11 goals in 5 league games so far. Just absolutely ridiculous. What's he scored a goal again? In the Champions League as well. His name?
Did you say Felipe or something?
Lucas Felipe. Yeah. He's a new gem.
He's a new gem. Okay, he's a new gem.
Yeah, very good player. But he actually started... play for Leicester for a little while. I'm just trying. My history's still broken on my game for some reason. I don't know why. But yeah, he started at Flamengo, went to Leicester for a little bit, and then I ended up getting him on a free. But he's on fire at the moment. So even with our injury issues, we're on top of things at the moment, but starting to get a couple of players back now. In terms of transfers, I had quite an interesting transfer window, to be fair. The balance of the club wasn't fantastic, to be honest. The overall balance was really, really poor. But we had a couple of big bids come in. Mohamed Cisse, who was a central midfielder who I alluded to last week, not really played him, ended up getting 1.5 up to 1.9 million for him, who a player I signed on a free 6 months ago, which is fine. Neo Rapu, who's a left back, well, he plays left back and right back. He played for me at Supersport, South African guy, had him, and he's been fantastic. But I signed him for about 400k and I had an offer of 4 million coming for him. I might cash in on this just to try and keep the balance moving and stuff like that. So we did that and I ended up signing Nico Williams, as in, you know, Welsh lad that plays for Forest IRL, because he could play both right and left back. He's 33 now, but in terms of physicals, still very strong. You know, still got 11 acceleration, 12 pace, which is fine. Natural fitness is good, and technically and mentally very good. So he's been great for us so far. So just tried to bolster the defensive areas really. And the good thing was that Neo Rapu was a foreign player. We had another guy, an American left back called Caleb Wiley. He left on a free, so that's another foreign player gone. And I've actually brought in a Japanese fullback alongside Nico Williams. So basically, I've freed up a foreign player's spot. So players like that Lucas Felipe that I've just mentioned is going to get more and more football. Before I finish, I'll quickly go back to the Champions League. So we're pretty much nailed on to be in the semi-final now, where we'll play either a team from Japan or South Korea, which is fine. I've got full belief that I'll win that. All the Saudi teams are on the opposite side of the draw. So the opposite side of the draw at the moment is Al Hilal or Al Ahly. And they'll play either Al Ittihad or Shabab Al Ahly. So at the moment, it looks like Al Hilal and Al Ittihad will go through. And I've just looked at Al Ittihad's team.
Uh-oh.
Oh, don't.
So, bearing in mind, when I lost a couple of seasons ago, Dupe, you were in the core and had those finals, and they had some good players. They had Jokeres and stuff, but I competed with them. I just looked at Al Ittihad's team, right? Some good players. They got a Brazilian winger, Savio. I think he's a lad that is City have Man signed, City am I right, yeah. maybe? Yeah. They've got Perez, the Argentinian centre-back, Bastoni, and just a little striker called Kylian Mbappe. So... He's 36 now, Mbappe, but still got 16 pace and 15 acceleration. As you can imagine, technical and mentally is just unbelievable. He's on 1.6 million a week in Saudi Arabia. So I'm really unsure how this is going to go. So, I mean, to be fair, they're 4-2 up at the moment. So they have conceded a couple of goals against the team from United Arab Emirates. And just looking at their team, got a couple of good players, but nothing unbelievable. So across two legs, who knows? But by obviously on next week's pod, I'll have
this time next week. Maybe I'll have a Champions League.
Yeah, but I was fully genuinely Every before time. About 20 minutes ago, I was completely confident. And then as we started the pod, I was just looking and I looked at their team. And I was like, shit. So other than that, like things domestically are going absolutely brilliant. But yeah, we built a good squad. Players that haven't really had chances of coming in and taking those opportunities. So hopefully we'll get there. But yeah, in the end, last season, I ended up losing in the League Cup and sort of the Japanese equivalent of the FA Cup. But I just wanted to focus on the league, get as far as we can in the Champions League. And touch wood, we're still in it at the moment. And hopefully a big update next week.
Mush.
I was just trying to scroll through because I remember sharing some of the Saudi teams' lineups when I was there.
Yeah,
and they were like, they had Kimmich and like they had all these players, and it's just disgusting. Like when you actually look at them, it is disgusting. So
saying that, I've not even looked at Al Hilal yet. So Al Hilal got Tonali, who's 34, still looks amazing. Martin Ødegaard, who's to be fair, his legs have gone. He's 36 and his legs have gone. But a lot of older players. So I don't know. But then the mad thing is, they've got players like Al Hilal got Jeremy Doku, who's not even registered for the Champions League because they can't register him.
It's so, honestly, it is shocking. Like when it's made that sign, it's made it that leg so much harder than it needs to be.
They need to try and get the rights to the Saudi. I know you can download the database and stuff, but I think the game would be absolutely ridiculous if they got the rights to the Saudi.
Yeah. I'd like to do a save in Saudi. Yeah. That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Just to bosh it every now and then. I can't find it. I'm scrolling and I'm trying to delay, but I can't. There was one team that they had and it was just insanely good. And if I find it, I will tweet it and I'll tag the pod in it. Okay, so Simon Says to Town. It's been a bit mental, I'll be honest. Basically, so what's happened is I did a stream or a bit of streaming with Joe during Easter, which was a fucking ages ago, to be fair. And then we've had some internet issues with me. So if you don't know, I've been on the Starlink shit, you guys know. And it's just not been working. So whenever I try to stream, like the speeds are really good, but the latency just drops out way too much. And Mad, you know, like when you stream, and to be fair, Dave, you had a lot of technical issues before. You start streaming, then it goes out, and then you come back, and you just kills the vibe. Mm. It does. It just kills the vibe. So I just cut it, and I was just like, right, we're going to get rid of it. And I've got trusty Sky now, touch wood, it seems to be okay. So I got Sky in, but that only got it installed a couple of days ago. And if you're watching the YouTube, I'm in a different office now because all sorts of nonsense. Anyway, but I've been desperate to play it and I haven't been able to stream it. So I've had a little cleanup on the Discord, in my Discord, and basically just picked up from where we left off. And I just basically every single game, every single decision, anything that was happening, I just chucked into the Discord. So there is spoilers. If you've read the Discord, this might be a bit of a waste of time. But for those that haven't, I need to explain what's gone on because it's been a very handy couple of months in Cirencester. We picked up from October, I believe. We went on I think we were on like an 8-game winning streak with Joe. First game that I took over on my own and did in the Discord, we lost. Of course we lost. We lost 3-2 to Barnsley, who, to be fair, I think I actually mentioned Barnsley last week because it was Clifton McCracken, if you remember that guy.
Yes.
I think I mentioned him last week, yeah. I've got some incredible names coming up. But I actually can't remember where I got to last week. So we're going to just pick up from basically January. In January, we found ourselves in the top three. Halfway through the season, in the top three. I'm thinking, actually, we could potentially find a way up here. We were struggling a little bit because our incredibly gifted centre midfielder, who's on loan, I've been playing as a ball-winning midfielder on support in the DM's position. Well, apparently, his boss isn't happy with that. He wanted him a bit higher up in the CM, and he's been complaining and complaining. And I thought, I don't want him to take him away. So I moved him up, and actually, it worked really well. It was no decision because of tactically. It isn't because it's where he's better. It's just because the manager wanted him there. And he actually performed better playing as in the DM, playing deeper. But hey, they know best. Anyway, throughout January, February, March, we played awesome. I think we dropped, we lost three games, we drew one, and then we won about nine games, which took us right into the arse end of the season. And I think at that time we were second. Sat in second, Barnsley 4 points ahead, Bradford 2 points behind, and then Crewe 3 points behind. So it was tight, like a tiger. It was proper tight. We could go into the playoffs, and we potentially could we could go up. I don't think we could ever win it. I don't think we're ever in a stage where we could potentially win it. But anyway, we went into a game against Chesterfield, and all we needed to do was just go in. It was in our hands. I think we moved a little bit further away after a couple of games, about five or six games to go, and we were like 8 points away from Bradford. We had already guaranteed a playoff. We just needed a couple of wins here and there, and we would have been fine. We went all the way up to Chesterfield. 99 fans went to Chesterfield, and we lost due to an own goal. To Wickham, to an own goal and a last minute penalty, which meant that they won. With a couple of games to go, we only needed 3 points, and then we lost to Colchester 1-0. And when I say we lost to Colchester, with like three games to go, we had had such, like, our XG was 2.5 to their 0.51. We had 18 shots to their 5 on target. It was just like we absolutely battered them, and we just couldn't get anywhere. And it just looked like we had all that huff and that puff, and then we just slip into the playoffs. We then slip down to third position, going into the final game. Bradford had a game in hand, which they went and which they had Woking, and they got a 0-0 draw, which means we were 3 points clear. We had a 12, but they had a better goal difference of 12 goals, so we just needed to win, and Bradford could do whatever they want, and we would be fine. If we lost, they won, that Bradford would have gone up. If we drew, we would have been fine as well. We just needed something. And it was, the clock was ticking, and we were sat at 0-0. We were playing a mid-table team. I can't remember who it was, but it was 0-0. And they had a chance. They had a chance. They had another chance. They had another chance. And it was just like, I just went so defensive. And I was just like, do you know what? I'm going to settle to a point, because even with a point, we were good. And I was just defending. Bradford was still 0-0 too. And the last kick of the game, you know, like, I don't know if you play in a big league and you got like the latest scores in the bottom corner, some of them disappear. The Bradford score just disappeared off of it.
If goal scorers' names pop up, it bumps them down or something?
Yeah. And it, I don't know, but like I just couldn't find. About 4 minutes ago, I couldn't find their result. And I was panicking. We had about 8 minutes of added time. And I just brought everybody back. I had about six defenders on and I think three midfielders. And I was just hoping, wasting time, doing what I could do, tinkering, flickering. And then they scored. And we conceded. Ooh. And Woking, who we were playing against, banged it with about a minute to go. But the flag was up. No. I had literally nearly flipped the fucking desk. I was just sat there like head in hand staring at the fucking ceiling. And then it went to like the dressing room, and I'm just thinking, this is ridiculous, lads. And it was like, congratulations? I was like, well, no, we just fucking lost. We just lost. What the hell? Anyway, turns out we didn't lose. We drew, but Bradford drew as well. So we were fine. So we got promoted. We got promoted. And the better thing was Crewe lost on the final day, which means we got promoted second. So we came second in League Two. Our striker got top goal scorer. Our budget has been set at 43 grand a week with zero transfer. We are skint, like proper, proper skint. We spent this year 30 grand a week on wages. So it's not much wiggle room at all. So I do worry about next year. But a few things that I found out since getting promoted. We had the worst average attendance in the league. We had the worst amount of yellow cards. In 46 games, we got 118 yellow cards.
Dog life, dog life.
Mean machine, boys. So yeah, we're in second place, and we're looking to kind of to swap to a three at the back system next year. And we've got a young Portuguese right back who we picked up at the start of this year.
Nuno.
He is wanted by, Nuno Mendes. That's him. Yeah, he is wanted by a few, but he's all right, but he's not very good at passing the ball out from the back. So I decided to kind of push him up a bit, make him the attacking one and put the left back on a bit of a defensive. But we've got to basically rebuild again, which is where I'm kind of saying, like, we need to start picking up these youngsters and kind of morphing them into the team that we want instead of the team that we've got. I'm still only a favoured personnel. We're still only at the Crinium Stadium with 6,000 people in League One, which is ludicrous. But to be fair, we do only get 2,000 people, so I wouldn't see why we'd want to up it. But a few things that I have noticed is I must be playing the horniest version of Football Manager I've ever heard of.
What?
Here we go.
Here's why. My new gens. My youth intake was an average youth intake, right? We got a couple of decent goalkeepers, right? But I got one new gen called Jonty Sexstone, right? Which is a random name, but okay, fine. He's a left midfielder. He's all right. He's average. And then on the other side, I've got Miles Meacock, right? 5'8", and that's two measurements. and then we've got, where was the other chap that come through the year before? I got another horny name like the year before. It was like, we got Phil McCracken, or what McCracken is it? I think it was like Stevie Mycock last time as well. And it was just like, what the fuck is going on with my game? So, all jokes aside, we are in League One next year. Fucking, we're fucked, basically. We shouldn't have got promoted here. We weren't a good side. We were just an average side. And we just managed to grind out results. When you go back and look through our results, it's a 1-0, 1-0, 2-1. You know, it's always like a swing of like a singular goal. We were very, very lucky. And going into April, when it mattered the most, we had a 2-1 win, 3-1 loss, 1-0 loss, 0-0 draw. So just when we needed to be good, we were fucking dreadful. So not great.
How many back-to-back promote? Like, is that every season promoted, or did you have you had two seasons?
No. So it's been two seasons that I've not been promoted, but the rest I have. No, one season I not got promoted.
Okay.
And I think that was the first season I didn't get promoted, but then the rest I have with Cirencester. Yeah.
Be interesting to see, because like obviously it can be done 100%, it can be done, but like at some point it might level out a little bit and you might actually have
it'll
stagnate a little bit, but like it just
I think it should probably
it's happening in real life as well, you know, back-to-back promo. So
I mean, I think we potentially, I mean, when you look at League One as well, like the teams like Millwall and Plymouth have gone up. Ipswich are in League One, Portsmouth are in League One, Bolton, Wrexham, AFC Wimbledon, Sheffield Wednesday, Charlton. There's some big teams in League One. Blackpool's in League One. You know, I can't see us getting out of this. Like, I genuinely can't. And just say if we do, Salford are coming down, Swansea are being relegated. So there's some big teams coming down too. That championship's going to take a few years to get out of. If we get there. I mean, we're talking... Last year, My income, or sorry, I shouldn't say income, my player expenditure on salary alone, we paid £1.09 million, okay? That's a year we paid, £1 million a year. We're 24th out of 24. Simple as that. There's a few teams that are quite close to us. Barnsley, who went up top, paid £4 million a year. When you got to League One, you got Ipswich in League One, £21 million a year. £21 million a year, Ipswich are on, and they've not been promoted. So we're going to be playing against them this year. And like, our half our yearly wage is like their average, their weekly wage, if you know what I mean.
Flipping heck.
It's just ludicrous. So we're going to get battered. If I can get, and I say it every year, if I can just stay up, that is more than enough for me. But I do think I am, what is it? It's my birthday this week. I'm off for quite a bit. I think that I'm away with the wife a little bit, and I've got it on the memory stick. I might take it onto the with the Mac and play a little bit, but this preseason is going to be huge because I have about six players again. And I don't like it because a whole team and a whole kind of, when you look through the players, the good players are the players that have been with me for a few seasons, like James Kamara, striker from Swansea. You know, he's bagged 67 goals in 111 appearances, 15 assists for us. But he's on loan. And like, he's going to go this year. He won't come back this year. You know, and it's just these players that if we could have bought in instead of loaning in, we could have had such more, you know, such a nicer narrative. But it's difficult. That's what Football Manager does, isn't it? And you'll find that, man, I mean, harder, even harder than what I find it, because you're going to have to be such a limited to that, such a small pool. So, yeah.
Oh, well, you're going well, Dupe. I mean, like, he's going well, Dave. Do you remember that time Dupe was telling me about, you know, when you don't play online, you play offline and you do well, and it, you know, it basically doesn't count. Even if you put updates in your Discord where people are keeping tabs on it, she still doesn't count. But yeah, you know, you're doing well, Dupe. We're proud of you. We're fair play. You know, keep up the good work.
Yeah, no, it's fine, mate. when I go live again, mate, we'll see the difference, mate.
I'm subscribed, so you know. I'll get the notification when you go live. I'm waiting for it.
$4.99 a month, mate. I appreciate that. Thank you. I just looked at the clock. Shit. Have we got enough time to do the spotlight, Matt? Or
I think
we might.
I think we should carry it over to
next
week.
I don't want to rush it because I'll be honest, two striker formations is very much my thing. So I think maybe.
It's three. Three strikers for you, dude.
It's back to back promotions, my thing. we probably won't have much of a save update next week. So let's chuck that into next week. Maybe we'll just skip save updates and just go straight into the spotlight and have save updates, like a mega save update again next week after. So, David, Quizzy Rascal, do you fancy it?
Yeah, let's do it. I was going to do it in a slightly different way, like give you basically five questions each, but I think with how I've sort of put them together, I think it's just a cat fight. You two, first name, shout out. If you get it wrong, it gets passed over to the other person. The topic today is Premier League title defining moments. Ooh. So these 10 questions basically are going to be about certain moments that may have happened on the final day, certain ways that clubs may have won the title, or leading up to the title race, basically. So we'll start with question one. Well, let me get a pen.
As a Newcastle fan, I don't like this because we haven't been involved in many title-defining moments.
Yeah.
As a United fan, I hate this because I'm going to make myself look like a right twat if I don't get the answers right. So,
to be fair, there's not a huge amount of United questions, I don't think. So,
good.
Let's see. So, question one. Manchester United went on to win the league. There's not many, trust me. Just this first one. Manchester United went on to win the league in 1999, beating Tottenham on the final day of the season. But who came off the bench for United to score the winning... Dupe.
Andy Cole. Lobbed.
Who came off the bench to score the winning goal in a 2-1 win? It was Andy Cole.
Yeah, he dinked it over the first defender and then slotted in.
Well done, Dupe.
Underrated striker, by the way. Massive tangent, but underrated striker. That boy does not get enough credit for his time at Newcastle.
He was on the podcast with Gary Lineker there during the week, The Rest Is Football, with Mike Richards. Or not Mike Richards, I think.
Have you watched it? There.
I would listen to it, but I didn't watch it on YouTube, but I listened to it on Spotify.
How did he sound? Because I know he's been very poorly.
He said it sounded quite good. Yeah, he said it himself that he's been quite ill, but he's managing it really well now that he knows what he's dealing with, and he sounded
good.
Dave,
he was at that charity game that we went to. up at Old Trafford.
Oh, he play? Yeah.
No, well, he took the kick off and then went walked off because he was poorly. Yeah.
He's quite a serious illness, but he seems to be in good form. He's going to be doing well. He's just after getting put in the Premier League Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, of course. Sorry, Dave.
Sorry, Dave. Don't worry. Dupe one up. No problem. Question two. In 2012, Manchester City won the Premier League with a dramatic late goal from Sergio Aguero. But who got the assist for that goal?
Dupe.
Ah. Genuinely, in my ears, that was so tight.
For me, my entire name was said by the time his name was said, but obviously I don't know how it comes to
it. Lies. I can tell you that it was his only ever Premier League assist as well, by the way.
Who was it, Dave?
It's Mario.
Genuinely, I...
Give it to Matt, it's fine, because I know I'm going to win.
Genuinely, in my ears, it was. We may listen back, but yeah, go on, Matt.
Say at the same time, Dupe. We were both going to say Balotelli anyway.
Yeah, Mario Balotelli. This is only assist ever, by the way.
I'm sure he got another one, you know, because I saw someone arguing about this the other day.
Oh, okay.
That he got one. I might be wrong, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have a look afterwards. Listeners at home, if you know, let us know.
Yeah. Question three, in 2022, Manchester City came from 2-0 down to beat which team 3-2 on the final day? Dupe.
Aston Villa.
It was Aston Villa.
Lucky just mad. Nice to know what the fucking answer is.
Were you going
to
say Villa, Mad?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. He knew.
Was that the ball over the line thing?
No.
That was a different Villa thing.
It was a different guy. Yeah.
Okay.
Question four. Oh, no, that was when Villa were going to go down. That was Sheffield United. Question four. Which French striker scored the winning goal for Arsenal in 2002? Mad.
Thierry Henry.
Incorrect.
Check.
Dupe.
Nicolas Anelka.
Of course it is.
Incorrect.
Mad.
Which French striker? Mad.
I don't even know. I just wanted to get in there before.
Dupe.
I'm going to go Wiltord. Hey, I called it.
No, I said it, you bastard. He just said Dupe.
I buzzed in.
Yeah, but then you didn't say anything, and then I said Dupe, and then
I was
went,
obviously
yeah,
throwing a guess.
But
this is scandalous.
Outrage.
Nah, which French striker scored the winning goal for Arsenal in 2002 against Manchester United to score the Premier League title in a 1-0 win? It was Sylvain Wiltord.
In 1998, you say? 2002?
2002, sorry, yeah.
Sylvain Wiltord. Oh, mate.
It was Wiltord.
I said it. You said, okay, Dupe.
I buzzed. Yeah. You didn't shout your name.
No. Quizmaster. Right. It goes to the quizmaster.
Next question. We'll see at the end of the quiz. In 2014, a slip from Steven Gerrard cost Liverpool mad.
Fuck. Demba Ba.
It is Demba Ba. Great.
I didn't think he would make it that easy.
A slip from Steven Gerrard cost Liverpool valuable points in the title race, but which Chelsea striker capitalised on the Liverpool captain's mistake? It was Demba Ba. Big shout.
Demba Ba.
Question six. In 94-95, it went down to the final day to decide who would win the Premier League title between Blackburn and Manchester United. Blackburn actually won the league despite losing on the final day, but who beat them?
Dupe. I want to say West Ham, but I think that was us that lost to West.
I think you West played Ham? West Ham and drew. Yeah. So mad.
Oh, mad. Yeah. Liverpool?
It is Liverpool.
Oh, great show. I mean, I wasn't even born there.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I was like nine.
He wasn't born. Question seven. Leicester City won the league back in 2016, but won the league following a draw between Chelsea and which other team? Dupe.
Tottenham.
It was Tottenham. The Battle of
the
Bridge.
Fucking hot. That was on my
unbelievable
birthday.
Unbelievable game.
Shout.
Unbelievable.
I was watching on Sky Go on my phone. We're in a restaurant. Sorry to my family.
Question eight. Chelsea won their first ever Premier League title in 2005 under Jose Mourinho. They beat Bolton 2-0 to secure the league title, but which Chelsea legend scored both goals?
Dupe. Frank Lampard.
It was Frank Lampard.
I feel like I'm so in before him on my side, but anyway, it is what it is.
The thing is, Matt, even at the start of the podcast when we do our clapsing, you are
you're
like 5 seconds
so way
behind
out.
Or
something.
Yeah,
you're
so
way
on
out.
On the audio back, it might
I
be.
Don't know what to do about it.
Play,
I have to move
fucking closer.
Move yeah. Dupe, I'm going to come live with you.
We ain't got any space.
Number nine. In 2009, which Italian teenager scored a fantastic injury time win?
Puerto Rico, Makeda.
I've enough of this stuff. I just
not Puerto Rico, Makeda.
Okay. Question 10. In 2004, Arsenal secured the status of invincibles after beating Leicester 2-1 on the final day of the season. Despite going 1-0 down, Henri equalised, but which other Frenchman got the winning goal for Arsenal?
Doop.
Perez. Incorrect. Oh. Mad.
Can I have the year again? Sorry. I just didn't.
2004. It's the invincible season.
Doop.
I'm going to say 2004. Anelka.
Incorrect, Stoop.
Patrice Vieira.
It is Patrick Vieira. Ding, 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 ding. So even with that Sylvain Wiltord question, I think if I gave it to you, Mad, you would have had four, and I think Stoop had
Look, it is what it is when we can't.
It was look, the timing. I think in person it could, in person it could have been a different result.
Can I also say this though?
Go on.
I love that, like the competitiveness. Well, I actually knew the answers to these ones. See what happens when you do a relevant quiz.
Yeah.
Relevant quiz.
So that does bring episode 350 to a close. You happy with that, Matt? You seem upset.
I'll accept it for now.
You can find the links for each of us in the podcast description by visiting 5starpotential.com, where you can find all of our latest Football Manager content. You can also find the toys that Mad's about to throw out the pram.
Bish.
5-Star Potential is available on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, and most of our popular podcast apps and platforms, with a new podcast released every single week, if Dave remembers. Thank you all for listening. There'll be more from us next week. Say goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Bosh, get me that Magnum.